Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Apple Collision Center. Chase McCabe here with you as always, and hard to believe it's the season finale of Chasing Checkers because there is a champion. His name is Kyle Larson. It all happened at the Phoenix Raceway last weekend, and I was fortunate enough to actually go to championship weekend. I got to see the Xfinity race, got to see the Cup race. And it was fantastic. So we told you last week on the show, Ben Rhodes won the Camping World Truck Series Championship. Daniel Hemric wins his first National Series race and the championship. What a unbelievable night, unbelievable finish as well in the Xfinity race Saturday night. He beats out Austin Cindric at the line, and that was just so much fun to watch. In fact, I was in the pits watching this because as soon as the race is over, they let the media go out to pit road and talk to the drivers and all those things. And so I'm standing there in the pits right where I'm going to, you know, enter pit road as soon as it's done. And I look over and I see NASCAR president Steve Phelps, who is standing there watching. And so I've never met Steve before. And so we're standing there and we're watching the race on the track. We're looking at the screens. There's obviously a caution. There's going to be a green white checker. And he walks over and he looks at me and goes, "Nothing's easy." And I said, "No, but it sure is exciting." He goes, "Well, absolutely." And then, you know, that was our introduction. Very nice. Good to talk to him. Looking forward to having him and everybody with NASCAR in Nashville. But that was quite the excitement. And then the next day, the Cup race, you obviously have all four drivers were in it at one point. Chase Elliott was leading laps. Kyle Larson was leading laps. Truex was leading laps. Denny Hamlin was chasing them down. And so, you know, I really thought this was going to come down to possibly a late caution deciding it, but it turned out to be pit stops. And it was Kyle Larson's pit crew that got him out front, and he stayed there, and he wins his 10th race and the championship as well. So congratulations to him. It's well-deserved. I mean, I think everybody would have been happy with their driver if they'd won it, but you look at what Kyle Larson's accomplished this year, and you have to acknowledge that. So very, very cool for him. So this is what's going to happen on this edition. Steve O'Donnell is going to join the show. I sat down with him in the NASCAR hauler, which was really cool, at Phoenix, and so we have a conversation with him. We're going to play Kyle Larson's or a piece of Kyle Larson's championship press conference the night of that he won the race. And so as he talks about that, but then the day before the race, before the Xfinity Series race, we had the opportunity to talk to a bunch of drivers after qualifying. And so you're going to hear some of that, some from other media members. I'm asking some questions. So we're going to go through the garage as well. We're actually going to start off with that. So here you go. The first driver you're going to hear is Ryan Newman.
Good to see you. So, Ryan.
I was waiting for the sun to go down, but need to get going.
So, Ryan, what are you going to do next year? Do you know
anything? I don't. If I did, I might tell you, but I don't know.
Do you know what your want-to is?
I know what my want-tos are. And that's a long story, but it's not achievable in a few ways right now. So.
Are you going to be patient and see if something comes up?
I have been. The phone hasn't rung, and I haven't put it out there, so I don't know.
Well, if you wanted it, wouldn't you put it out there?
Yes. Yeah, it's very complicated.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not just a matter of wanting it.
And it's not just what you
want. Or just putting it out there.
Yeah. It's a tough business.
It's supposed to be just fun. It's a sport. Yeah. Sports aren't supposed to be businesses.
Okay.
I mean, do you think Sunday?
You?
Either way is good for me if it's what you want to do, right?
I don't know. There's a chance of that. There's a chance of that every weekend. So, I mean, realistically, I just want to go out and have some fun.
If someone calls about a part-time opportunity, are you interested in that, or are you just looking?
I mean, if it's a winning opportunity, it doesn't matter if it's a part-time, full-time, or a one-race deal. That's what I want to do. I want to get get back in Victory Lane.
Yeah. And is it complicated because it takes money and you got to come with money?
No, it's complicated because it takes money. I don't have to come with money. There's a lot of people that are bringing money. And there's a lot of people that aren't asking too much. And doing it because they're young. And again, like I said, it's very complicated. And it's way beyond this atmosphere.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. That makes sense. People are willing to do it for nothing.
It's not even that. It's not. I mean, you're using generic terms. Yeah. The fact is there really aren't any quality rides out there that are available that I know of.
Right.
Somebody has called me and made available, so I just, I don't know.
So is this an emotional weekend for you?
It's emotional, but I mean, it's ironic, I guess, at the same time, because I know my first start was here 21 years ago. So I hope to come back 21 years later. Mean something. I don't know that it means much, but like I said, I'm not announcing any kind of retirement or anything like that. I'm really just I don't have anything on paper for next year. Right now.
You know,
Alex, why are rivalries so important to this sport?
They're what the sport's built on. Rivalries are important to any sport, right? I feel like without rivalries, rivalries engage fans so much more. They make people so much more passionate about things. So, while I'm a guy that likes to stick to myself and be pretty quiet at times, I may not like it, but I think it's definitely good for the sport.
Have you and Denny talked? Do you plan to talk?
No. You know, I would have if all the things that had been said didn't get said. So, at that point, I've been on the other side of him getting loose under me and crashing me twice. And, one time he said, hey, I'll give you a free ride on my jet to make up for it. I don't have a jet to make up for him, so not much I can say. Obviously, he's got some pretty big issues with me, and it is what it is.
You've had a pretty good year, 4 wins. In the first year in the 48, I know this has to go up there as probably your best year of your career, but looking at the season as a whole, just how would you rate it?
Yeah, we just need to find consistency. You know, we've had some really fast race cars, and it's been great to be able to do that, to win 4 times. But if we could find the consistency, it sure would be nice.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
Roger, just about like you stepping into this role, any advice he's given you?
Not a tremendous amount. He's certainly very busy with things he's got going on. We talked a little bit about finishing this the right way. And I feel like that's gone. We both made commitments to give it our all, and I think we both have done that.
I feel like we were pretty close this year. A lot of the downforce tracks, mile and a half and above, you know, what works at one works at a lot of them. So you can't really hit on one thing that's only going to work at one place. You know, the things that you work on, you got to get better at, kind of apply to all the big tracks, all the short tracks. So. Feels like we're getting closer, and that makes it that much more difficult to break through and win, because what it takes to win week in and week out applies pretty much to every event that we do. So it feels nice that we're getting closer, but we're right in that spot where a lot of decent teams and drivers can get stuck, so we have to really push to get through that.
Have you had to learn maybe some patience waiting so much coming up to the ranks, and then it's obviously a lot harder to win the Cup Series?
It certainly is, but you know, I did a lot of dirt racing growing up, and there was a number of years in the series that I was racing is, you know, just as tough as the Cup Series, but a totally different world, obviously. So, you know, getting put through the dirt, and quite literally the dirt, but, you know, the ringer, and having to go through that learning curve against the best of the best on that side of racing. In a way that I didn't see coming, really prepared me for, you know, the adversity that we were going to have on the Cup side.
What have you learned working with Kurt?
Oh, it's endless, man. He forgets things in a day, that more things than I've learned all weekend. He's a superstar for that reason, right? He's just that good. He just went out with an equal car and, you know, qualified 5th, and I qualified 16th or something. So there's a big difference there. And the time he's been in the sport, he's been winning Cup championships since before I ever raced. All that just comes with seniority and time on track.
Justin has made Nashville his home. Obviously, the Cup Series returning to Nashville, the banquets in Nashville. Seems to be a pretty important spot to the sport. Why do you think that is?
This is a growing town, man. I mean, it was, you know, it was built on country music, but it's so much more than that now. It's still the heart of it, I think. From the time I've spent there, country music is still the backbone of it, but there's so many other pieces of it now. So, yeah, it's just, we don't all have to be in Charlotte. Like, we can spread out, and in Nashville, Trackhouse is their team. So it's a bit more of a football or baseball style, you know, fan mentality. What I've seen is that, like, they've heard of NASCAR people in Nashville, but, like, they know Trackhouse is their hometown team.
Being your first year in the Cup Series, you mentioned having that practice and qualifying. I mean, how much have you really missed that just with your development?
Oh, well, you know, everyone always asks me what the hardest part has been of the Cup Series or being a rookie, and that's it, is not having practice or qualifying. In any other years, it'd be something else, whether it's a competition or the longer races or this and that, but it's none of that. It's really just not having practice or qualifying. You know, we don't have the opportunity to improve our starting position a lot of weeks, and we don't have the opportunity to work on a race car before the event. So it makes it really hard as a rookie trying to learn the new car. And I've been to a lot of new tracks to me since I've never run full-time. And Xfinity or truck, there's quite a few on the schedule I've never raced that before or ever seen even. So it's been challenging. But like you said, to have it for the final race is at least nice, especially at a place we struggle at, you know, is valuable for sure.
What do you think the future holds? I know you've talked about that a little bit, of what you could do next year. Is it still up in the air?
Yeah, nothing really gets done that soon at Front Row, so we're just working through things. Obviously, the ultimate goal going into this year was, you know, learn, get the experience of the Cup Series. We've been putting together really good races. Now, you know, we've been bringing faster cars to the track and built a lot of great chemistry, so I definitely want to build on that for next year. And like I said, that was the goal when I signed in the beginning of the year. So for me, that's definitely what, you know, I have prioritized.
Now, you're going to keep racing because you're an iRacer, so I know you're going to have that going on during the off season. You started the Monday night racing this week. How are you thinking your iRacing season is going to go?
Hopefully well, because this year on the track and even on the virtual track on iRacing, I've had some of the craziest luck I've ever experienced, and just misfortune. But I'm ready to have a good off season. Like you said, just keep honing my skills and stay fresh by running on the simulator as much as I can. And hopefully it does go well for me. There's a couple leagues I run in and some other big events I'd love to win, championship. And it's just, you know, it's fun. But at the end of the day, I definitely think iRacing is a great way to just get better. It's a legitimate training tool, especially nowadays with no practice or qualifying.
I was going to ask you, you know, you drive the car, but it's obviously your grandfather's team and a lot of family ties there. So how much do you put on yourself a little bit extra to try and perform and win races?
You know, I always try to, you know, get the best performance out of every weekend, and there's always been a little bit of pressure, but, you know, you kind of live in that and love it, and you just kind of go out and perform and win races. That's what makes it really feel good, is when you go out there and perform with that number and for RCR, the family part of it.
Is there a little more of a checkers or wreckers feel this weekend with it being the last race, not only of the season, but with this car?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you don't want to get in the championship four's way. You want to be, you know, courteous, but yeah, if you get a chance, you're gonna go for it.
Chase McCabe, 102.5 The Game. Obviously, you're here to win a championship, but 9 wins and being one of the most, if not the most consistent teams in the garage this year in your first year with Hendrick Motorsports, where does that accomplishment rank before going into tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely something we're all proud of, having the speed that we've had consistently, like you mentioned, all year. You know, winning 9 regular season races plus a all-star win and, you know, being in the final four, I think that's something to be proud of. So happy with how the season's gone, but, you know, we still have the major thing that we really want to accomplish tomorrow.
Have you gotten advice from other drivers that have done the ownership thing?
Not really. You know, in some ways you like listening to what other people have to say. In other ways, I think you tune it out, understanding the dynamics are so much different with a next-gen car that in some ways I think those previous experiences can be bad for you.
You'll leave Penske as the winningest driver. How does that make you feel? Like,
awesome. You know, if there's a way to go out, it's a hell of a mark. And, you know, I don't know, maybe Joey or Blaney will beat it in a year and a half. I don't know. I guess it's always possible. But for now, it's a great way to go out.
So there you go, a little tour of the garage. And Brad Keselowski, of course, the last driver you heard there, but several around there, starting with Ryan Newman. Alex Bowman was in there. Anthony Alfredo I had a chance to talk to, and that was actually before the news this week that he would not be back at front row. But that he was in there. Tyler Reddick, Austin Dillon. So awesome to be able to have that opportunity. When we come back, you're going to hear from Steve O'Donnell. He, of course, is the executive vice president in NASCAR and the head of competition. So we'll talk to him. I got to sit down with him inside the NASCAR hauler. We'll do that on the other side here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Centers on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, live at the Phoenix Raceway in the NASCAR trailer. No, I'm not in trouble, but I am here with Steve O'Donnell, who is the Executive Vice President and Chief Racing Development Officer of NASCAR. And Steve, an awesome weekend. This is my first time here. This facility, since they've redone things a couple of years ago, this place is absolutely fantastic, and I can understand why you want to host the championship for this weekend here.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for coming out, right? And I think that's a testament to this racetrack, that it's attracting folks from everywhere and media such as yourself, which is great to see. And it's an event that everyone's excited about, sold out, you know, earlier than ever before. So we're ready to get going. We've got three great races already, and hopefully crown a cup champion here shortly.
2020 was obviously different. The championship didn't have that championship feel. You didn't really have the banquet. Now it's kind of getting back to that, seeing fans walking around, the fan experience that they have here, and the drivers, even though it's still a little limited of how much they can mingle with fans, it feels like it's getting back to normal, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, it's awesome to see fans, and you know, really appreciate those that were able to come out, you know, over the pandemic, but know that it was a challenge situation for everybody. And you know, I remember Kevin Harvick winning in Darlington and you know, getting out of the car and almost silence, and it was really difficult for the entire industry. So as we've moved on and coming here and just seeing the fans interact with the drivers and the cheering that goes on, it's awesome, and it gives you that extra bump. Not only going into this weekend, but as we look ahead for 22.
You all took a big swing at the schedule and wanted to make it different this year. You added new tracks, Nashville Super Speedway, of course, being one of them, more road courses. You had the Indy road course in there as well. Overall, I was impressed. I liked a lot of the racing at the new places. How did you feel as NASCAR that the new schedule went?
Yeah, I think if we can just control the weather, it would have been an absolute home run. But the fan turnout, the support we saw, you know, Nashville was tremendous. We've got a great relationship with the city through the banquet. Can't wait to get there soon again and continue crowning our championship celebration. But seeing the turnout there was tremendous. You look at Gateway coming on next year, and I think we've really hit a solid mix of what we want to do in 22. And, you know, maybe add one more key element to the 23 schedule, and we'll feel like we're in a really good spot.
You mentioned Nashville and the banquet returning there in about a month, or less than a month. I know it was a big success 2 years ago, but looking to be bigger, better than ever this time around.
Yeah, I'm biased. I've got a daughter who's a senior at Belmont, so I get to spend a lot of time in Nashville. Awesome city, and I think there's so many synergies between our sport and Nashville in and of itself. And you know, really excited to see, you know, the elements that we can bring to town. You know, every place you go to, you see NASCAR. Our industry loves going out and being part of the city, and you'll see a huge celebration. And I think get back to what we really enjoy, and that's, you know, celebrating the sport together with our fans.
What does it say, though, about a city that, you know, you all obviously want to be there, but they want you to be there? I mean, the Super Speedway reopening, obviously there's still a lot of movement with the fairgrounds, and who knows what's going to happen with that and the banquet, but that's a hotbed for NASCAR fans, and they clearly want to be a part of the action.
Yeah, when you think of Nashville, you know, for me, I think it's just the passionate fan base, and that's what the sport is all about. And it's not just bringing a cup race there, but you look at the fairgrounds. We've had a history of short track racing and drivers coming up through that area and making their way up to the cup level. So for us, you know, long history of racing in Nashville, long history of passionate fans, and you know, I think they were finally able to see us, you know, bring the Cup Series there, and that's something we want to deliver for them and showcase our top stars in that market.
All the drivers have obviously been talking about the next-gen car, testing the next-gen car. It's something that has been in the works for a long time. We're finally going to see it at Daytona next year. I know still a lot of work to do, but how exciting is it to have this, that I've been calling this a new era of NASCAR, to kind of help continue that transition into this new era, because it's going to be much more cost effective?
It is. I think when you look at the next gen car, you know, first and foremost, we want to put on great racing. And then when you looked at the ownership model and where the sport was going in the future, we knew we needed to shore up the current owner's business model, but also bring in new ownership. And we're seeing that. We're seeing some new enthusiasm around ownership, some excitement about the car and what it can do on the racetrack. So, you know, we'll debut at the Coliseum, which will be really cool. We had the test at Bowman Gray. You had Tony Stewart, Clint Boyer, Dale Earnhardt Jr. I think it was exciting to see them get out of the car and be excited to, about what they're going to see. And then, you know, we'll go down and test in Daytona, make some adjustments, and go racing for the 500.
Yeah, I messed that up. It is the clash at the Coliseum. Not used to that yet. That's a very outside the box idea, which is something we've seen. Bristol Dirt is outside the box, but those things are exciting. They get eyes on your sport, so that one's going to be interesting.
It will be. You know, you look at the LA market, and we've got the most fans in LA, which I know some people sometimes would question. So for us to be able to bring a race to an iconic facility, something different, you know, the Olympics, Super Bowls, you know, we'll give it a shot. We'll put some new things around that event with entertainment, and I'm excited about it. I think it'll be a great debut for us.
So with the new car, and you mentioned getting new owners in, but I look at teams like Hendrick and Gibbs, you know, obviously they have a ton of resources at their disposal, but these smaller teams like a Front Row or Aspire, how is this going to help them continue to grow their business?
You know, when you talk to them, the key, you know, message that they come up with is this is a reset. So we're all starting from the same playing field. And so it'll give them an opportunity to go out there and learn some things as the bigger teams learn them as well. You know, typically someone will hit on something early on, but we think the playing field and the margin for error will shrink. And that'll be exciting. We'll see more cars be more competitive, hopefully some more drivers winning, although we've already seen a very competitive season thus far. But, you know, more of that will be great.
I've heard you say this before when talking about this, but, you know, it's not just new owners, but OEMs as a possibility as well. I know you probably don't have anything to announce, but, I mean, is that something that, you know, within the next handful of years, we could see more manufacturers in the sport?
I think that's fair. You know, if you looked back prior to the announcement of the next-gen car, you know, there was some dialogue, but really not much interest. But we're seeing a lot of interest from new OEMs. I feel confident that we'll have something here shortly to discuss. And, you know, it'll be great for the sport as well to inject some new OEMs, a new fan base as well, and, you know, spread out, you know, some of the race teams with a different manufacturer would be awesome for the sport.
New seems to be my theme here, but you talked about going to new facilities or returning to facilities like you did in Nashville. But thoughts of cities building new racetracks, because we haven't seen a brand new facility in a while. I mean, I guess going back to Iowa or Chicago, Kansas, something like that. So is that something that you all have talked about?
We're looking at it. I think our sport is unique. You know, we don't get the benefit a lot of times with, you know, a state or a municipality, you know, spending a ton of money to build a facility. So that's a challenge for us. So I think what you'll see us look to do is really balance the schedule with the number of short tracks, road courses, intermediate, and then super speedway. We're approaching kind of where we want to be, but you know, I wouldn't rule out possibly a street course in the future where we could do something more on a temporary basis, but really kind of own in on the schedule we have and make a consistent schedule where we can go back and fans get used to where we're racing.
Nashville did a street course, just so you know.
They did, but I would say we're really happy with the speedway that we have out there. I'm excited about the possibilities of the fairground as well.
Awesome. Steve, appreciate the time. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
And that is Steve O'Donnell, of course, Executive Vice President with NASCAR. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Center, you're going to hear from the champ, some of his press conference, Kyle Larson, after he won his first NASCAR Cup Series championship. We will do that on the other side as you listen to Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Center. Chase McCabe here with you on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And want to just say thanks to everybody for listening. Every Saturday morning at 9, we are going to take a little bit of a break after this week because of the off season. We're going to be doing some stuff around the NASCAR banquet, of course, that is going to be coming to Nashville this year. NASCAR did make it all official a few months ago, but announced, I guess, some more details this week. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Here is kind of a rundown of it as Tuesday, November 30th is when everything kicks off. They're going to have a street party at the Ryman. They're going to have the NASCAR grid, which is an area at Riverfront Park where you can go check things out. And they'll have the champions of the ARCA series and Camping World Trucks, Xfinity and Cup as well. So you can see that. The next gen will be on display. The schedule will be on display. They'll have all that on Wednesday as well. And then the burnout's on Broadway Wednesday night, which will be awesome, 6:30 to 8. So you want to check that out. And then the actual awards will take place on Tuesday, December 2nd. So really looking forward to having everybody back here in Nashville to celebrate the champions of all of the national series. So speaking of the champion, let's hear from the Cup Series champion, Kyle Larson.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an up and down race compared to the four of us. There was moments where I was like, yeah, maybe I've got a good enough car to win outright, and then there was times where I was definitely the fourth best car. So definitely a team win. I'm honestly glad that it took our whole, it always takes your whole team, but in one race, Cliff, the engineers, making the adjustments on the car to keep us in the game. My pit crew is the main reason why we won that race. And I'm sure somewhere in there I made some good decisions too. So just happy that we had to earn this one and worked our butts off to get it done.
We'll start in the back right near you. Mariel Keyes up here in the room.
Hi, Nicholas O'Dell for Arizona Sports. Kyle, when you think about some of the things you've done this year, not just within the Cup Series, but within all different disciplines, your 10 wins and championship here in the Cup Series, but also your success in the dirt tracks throughout the year, can you think of a year throughout the course of your entire racing career, really your racing life, where you've had a year where you've done so many different things and dominated throughout all kinds of different disciplines?
Well, I only got to run 4 Cup races last year, but last year I was able to win 46 races. So these last two seasons are ones that I'm very proud of, and I hope I can replicate it as years go on. I wasn't sure if I'd ever top what I was able to accomplish last year, winning 46 times and about 50% of my races. But this year, I haven't won as many races, but I've got a lot more big wins. And what I'm proud about too this year, there's a lot I'm proud about. But this year, I raced so many different types of cars. I was able to win a marquee event in each of the cars that I race, the Chili Bowl and the BC39 and Midget, Kings Royal and Knoxville Nationals in a sprint car, the Prairie Dirt Classic in a dirt late model, and a handful of big wins in the Cup Series. So and to top it off with a Cup Series championship. So I don't think that I'll ever be able to top this year, but I hope I can someday.
Congratulations, Kyle. Cole Cusimano, the Money Stop podcast. Speaking on just that, the Money Stop and your crew, you mentioned there were times where you felt like you had the fourth best car. Did you ever think that you were always in it just because your pit crew was so good and the guys and the girls, the shop,
Yep. Yeah, I always felt like no matter how bad I felt like our car was at times, as long as I could stay with them, the other drivers in front of me, with our pit stall selection and my pit crew, I knew that we were going to be in it. And for us to come in fourth behind them and come out the leader was a little bit better than I thought we could do. But my pit crew, I've got all the belief in the world of them. They proved all season long that they were consistent and consistently fast. So we have such a great team, and they're a massive part of it, and they were the reason why we won tonight.
And then you mentioned just now finding it hard to imagine like being able to top this year. What's the next goal for you? Like what do you want to accomplish next?
I don't know. I just got done winning the Cup Series championship, which is a dream come true. But I don't know. I mean, thankfully I'm young. I'm still in my 20s, and who knows? Who knows what's out there, what other opportunities I might get, what other big races or something I could run. I'm up for anything. So just very fortunate to have all the opportunities I've ever been given, and it's hard to think about, you know, what else I would like to accomplish, but I love winning races, and I love driving all sorts of vehicles.
Kyle, I've watched you take your kids all over the world, and to have that moment when you took Owen for the victory lap, what was that like for you, and was there anything special that the two of you shared?
Yeah, that was really cool. I think it was Kevin Harvick maybe took Keelan, I can't remember what race, a few years ago, and you know, I wasn't winning a lot then, but okay. And I wasn't winning a lot then, but I was like, man, that was such a cool moment to share with your son. And I didn't even have the idea to do it today. I think it was somebody from NASCAR asked if I'd like to take Owen for a ride to Victory Lane. And I was like, yeah, for sure. It's like, it's really hot, so he's gonna have to be careful in here. But, he was so excited. I could see it in his face. He was holding the flag and the checker flag. And, you know, he's gotten to do a lot of wing dances with me in a sprint car, but not too many cup wins. So it was super, super cool to celebrate with him, my whole family, you know, Owen, Audrey, Caitlin, my mom and dad were here, my sister. I don't know when the last time she's been to one of my races. So many of my friends were here. Paul Silva was here today. Hayden, our mechanic on the sprint car. Tommy Tarleton and his wife were here. There was so many people here to support me that have supported me for years now. So it made this win feel even greater.
And I know I might have gotten you in trouble in the past asking you, you know, the biggest win was, you know, you said the Chili Bowl, but I have to ask you, certainly this has to trump that victory.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, this year I've won so many big races. And it seems like each one I win, it's like, okay, that was my biggest win. And then you win another one, that was my biggest win. And I don't know if there's another race that could ever top, you know, this win here today. You know, winning a Cup Series race at Phoenix for a championship, it doesn't get any bigger.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires at that. Kyle, in the car, as you were coming around with the big flag and stuff, you had tears in your eyes. You couldn't really talk over the radio real well. What was that emotion going through you right at that time? What was the things that you were thinking of and knowing that this championship was a reality?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you guys might not see it, but I tear up quite a bit whenever I, you know, win races that mean a lot to me. And usually I, you know, get myself composed before interviews and before I take my helmet off. But you know, today you guys got, you know, to see it, you know, because I'm taking the checkered flag and I got a camera straight in front of me. So you could see the emotion that I have for a lot of the wins I can get. But today was more tears than normal, I think, just because of the significance of the event, of the journey that it took to get here. And just, you know, I think just everything, you know, the atmosphere of the race, all the friends and family I had here today. My crew and the hard work that they put in all year, I felt just a big relief that I was able to win for them and get to, you know, enjoy it with them. And it all a little bit of it was hitting me before the race started, and then it all kind of hit me there after the checkered.
What was it like getting the championship ring from Jim France?
That was cool. Steph's got it in the back. Okay. I was like, yeah, I just realized I don't have it on. That was really cool. We were just at the barn before I came here, and that place is rocking right now. So, that was neat to, you know, get the championship ring presented to me. I didn't know that was something that happened, you know, right after the race. I thought that was something you get presented sometime during the week of the banquet. So, really cool to go there and see a lot of the folks from NASCAR and get to share in a cocktail here with them and get presented a awesome shiny ring.
Two quick follow-ups. One, what are you drinking?
My go-to is Captain Morgan and Diet Coke. So I'm pacing myself. This is just my first one. You guys are probably bummed because I'm not like Ben Rhodes right now, but I was watching that Friday and I was like, okay, if I win, I'm not going to be like him. So that was cool to see him enjoying it. And I really feel I haven't had time to like slam a bunch of drinks like he did. I don't really know how he did that. Yeah, I told her before I came here, I was like, you need to start drinking some water because you're going to be in rough shape here soon. I've been around her for like 10 minutes, and I've seen her shotgun 3 or 4 different beers. So, and she never drinks, by the way. She's got this reputation like she's the partier and this and that because she, you know, shotguns a beer. But she never parties. So I hope she can pace herself tonight. Yeah, because she's been drinking all day during the race. Like I said, we have a lot of friends here. So they were in the hospitality tent right here. And, yeah, like she better sober up. When I did come over here, somebody was handing her water. So hopefully she can drink that for a little bit.
But you're up on stage at the barn. And no offense, I mean, they were chanting her name louder than they were chanting your name.
Oh, yeah. And same, yeah, in the barn, yeah.
So she comes up on stage and shotguns a beer. What, I mean, what's going through your head?
she can have it. She can have all the eyes on her. I don't know, NASCAR fans, they love drinking. I can't drink beer, so you'll never see me shotgun anything. So, yeah, they definitely have that connection with her, and that's cool. I drink the hard liquor, though, so I have to – really watch my pace.
Get it, Bob.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. When we were talking to Caitlin, she said that, you know, the Chili Bowl was something that was a childhood dream that was achievable for you, but maybe a cup champion was something that you never thought was achievable. So I wanted to ask you, did you ever think that you would ever be sitting in this position?
Yeah, so I don't really think that I ever, like, and don't try and spin this in the wrong way, because, like, I don't know if I ever dreamt of winning the Cup Series championship, because I feel like it's outside of, like, realistic things. You know, I feel like I dream about stuff that I know I can go do, and I'm not sure I ever really thought that I could win a Cup Series championship. You know, I've always thought about winning races, not championships, and I didn't know if I would ever win a Cup Series championship. So I can't say that it was like a dream of mine. And like I said, don't take that the wrong way, because that's not what I'm trying to make it sound like. It's just, it's so far out there that I never thought that I would do it. Until, you know, I got with this team for real, you know, for sure. You know, early on in the year, I felt like, you know, we could do it, but then you kind of think about how the format is and all that, you're like, well, something's going to happen where I don't, you know, win this championship. So maybe that's what kept it out of my dreams a little bit too, of all the circumstances that go into winning a championship in the Cup Series. You know, like for any other form of racing, it's like a year-long thing, you know, and you'll work your way towards winning a championship. With this format, it's just crazy. So I think that's what's kind of, you kept it from me, like, dreaming about these moments and how I would, you know, see it being like.
Chase McCabe, ESPN 102.5, the game in Nashville. And you won in Nashville. The banquet's going to be in Nashville. And I know you've spent a lot of time there and talked fondly about it. So how excited are you to celebrate your first championship in Nashville?
I am extremely excited to go to Nashville. I love Nashville. You know, we're really close friends with the Boyers, and through Clint and Laura, we've been able to meet a lot of their friends. And Trace is who we've met recently in Sonoma, got to, you know, build a close friendship with. He knows a lot of big name musicians and stuff, so I'm hoping he can pull some strings and we can get a massive party going in Nashville. We FaceTimed them on the way to the barn. It was hard to hear, but I told him he better be scouting some good entertainers for us. So I'm really looking forward to Nashville. It's one of the most fun cities you can possibly go to. So definitely not a better spot for the banquet.
Plenty of liquor too.
Yeah. Yeah, plenty. Yeah, I'm sure I'll find some trouble, but no, I look forward to it.
All right, so before we get out of here, we're going to hear from the other members of the Championship Four. Let's start with Denny Hamlin.
Hey, Denny. I heard you say on TV, you know, you win 10 races, you should win the championship, but I'm wondering if that softens it at all for you.
I mean, yes, a little bit, for sure. You know, we knew, you know, after practice that, and I said it, that we were going to have this thing go a certain type of way, and it was going a certain type of way with, until 25 to go. And so, you know, we our pit crew did a really good job, you know, getting us out ahead of the 19. And, you know, the 5 just had a blazing fast stop. And that pit stall was such an advantage from qualifying that, you know, that was it. You know, you probably had the 4th best car probably all day. And it's just once you get out front, it's all that's it.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. A couple of things following up on that, Denny. Gabe Hart was having a rather animated discussion with you right afterward. Is that kind of what you guys were saying, that it just the plan was executed flawlessly on your end? It just fell the 5's way at the end?
Yeah, he, you know, some of the stuff, just saying thank you for the effort. Like, he was proud of my effort, and he knows I gave it all I had, just didn't – that's what we had. You know, at the beginning of the first half of the race, we, you know, we're kind of mediocre, you know, compared to the field, but in the long run, we just were really fast and just didn't have that short run speed. But, you know, just kind of a pep talk from him about, you know, our season, and it's nothing to hang our head about. Obviously, there's disappointment, but there's just nothing, you know, again, there's nothing else I felt like I could have done differently.
So you mentioned the pit stall. The whole narrative all week was there no reason to focus too much on qualifying because the top 4 guys are going to get top 4 pit selections. But Kyle Larson gets that first pit stall because he qualifies first. Is there any regret there that maybe we should have focused more on that?
Not really, because I don't think we would have qualified as fast as he did anyway. You know, those cars were just superior to ours for the second half of the year in every aspect on the short run. So I don't know whether we would have qualified any different.
And then finally for me, I mean, this is the 3rd straight time you're here, fourth appearance overall. How do you get past it and not think, you know, am I going to keep getting shots at this without winning the title?
Well, I mean, you think about it, and I think about it that, you know, this is a great opportunity. You know, this is the last generation of this car that, you know, I took a very good liking to over the last 3 years. We don't know what the next gen car brings. We don't know. You know, will our team be as good? Like, you know, there's just many, many question marks that happens after this. So that's why we really put so much emphasis on let's try to win this year. But honestly, there's just nothing else I could have done. There's nothing else. I drove as hard as I could every lap. I didn't have the speed for the first 20. It was evident in a lot of the restarts we had. It was actually overachieved in quite a few. But that was it. And so I have to live with the result because I can't change it, you know. So, I mean, disappointed, absolutely, for sure. But I knew kind of going into today I was going to need the race to go a certain way. You know, if it goes the way it did last year, goes green out, we're probably winning. So, but it didn't. You know, we knew that, you know, our percentage was low, and that was the case. Many of these races come down to green-white checkers or, you know, shootouts at the end, and that just wasn't our strength and hasn't been ever.
And now we'll go to Martin Truex Jr. and Chase Elliott.
Could each of you kind of no, it's fine. Could each of you kind of like discuss your race, starting with Martin?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for us, we had just solid day. We hung around right there where we needed to be. Had a really good car, especially in the long runs early in the race, and track position was tough. Seemed like whoever was out front could drive away for 30, 40 laps. And then, you know, then you kind of race from there on till the end of the run. It seemed like, you know, we were pretty good. So, felt like all of us were really equally matched, honestly. We were all really good, really fast. Whoever got out front seemed to be good in the short run. And then, you know, long run, just it was kind of back and forth between everybody all day, it seemed like. So we did everything we needed to. You know, we got a lucky break there with the caution when we pitted and, you know, got us the lead. And, we were driving off into the sunset, and I don't know what the caution was for, but just untimely caution for us. And, you know, lost 2 spots on pit road. That was a race. So, you know, 20 to go, you're not going to pass one of the fastest cars out there. We just didn't have, you know, we didn't have the short run speed all day. And then, you know, certainly with 20 to go, it's going to be hard to pass anybody out front in clean air. So I think if we could have had the lead, we could have held them off. But that's, you know, hindsight's 2020, and we didn't have the lead, so here we are. But really proud of our team and our season. You know, come in here once again as underdogs, and you know, had a shot at it, so that was fun.
That break with the pitting under green right before the caution and cycling the lead, did you feel like maybe this is going to be my day, or did you not really trust?
It was too early. I mean, you know, at some point you're probably going to get a caution. You know, lap car back marker's probably going to crash into the wall for no reason or something stupid like it always happens. So I'm not sure what happened, but that's probably what happened.
Chase, your race, I know you had contact with Kyle at one point. That seemed to maybe help his car a little bit in terms of downforce.
Yeah, maybe. I kind of thought I had a run a little bit, and I didn't think I didn't think there was quite enough room. And I thought he was going to come to the wall, so I was like, "Wow, I'll try to go to the bottom really fast." And then he ended up like not moving, and then I came down. It was just a really weird set of circumstances. I ended up hitting him in the right rear, and it flared the thing out. So that was nice.
And it looked really good.
Yeah, it was nice.
It looked really good.
If you want to do that,
why wouldn't you hit me like
that? Yeah, if you want to do that to me somewhere next year, we'll work on it.
Thing was sexy.
It did. It looked good. So glad I could help. But yeah, just you know, honestly, really proud of our effort. I thought we had a really good car. I mean, honestly, I thought all four guys, to Martin's point, were good. I feel like we all kind of had our moments really throughout the day, and you know, you get a caution with 20 laps to go, it's going to be very difficult to run down and pass the guy, you know, that jumps out front on the restart. So but yeah, proud of our team. Felt like we had a nice game plan coming into the week. I thought our car did a lot of the things that we wanted it to do, and you know, no major mistakes, just needed to be a little better in those last few sequences of you know, restarts and pit stops here at the end.
I mean, Denny said it yesterday, and he said just now again today, like the top four pretty much ran top four all day. And he said, you know, this is going to come down to one little thing, you know, final pit stop or where the caution falls. Did you guys expect that? And is that just how these championship races seem to unfold now, or all races seem to unfold?
Yeah, I mean, but the way this deal is, for sure. I mean, one race, I mean, yeah, it's gonna be hard to, you know, most of the time your four consistent guys throughout the season are likely going to be here. You might have one guy that maybe isn't, or you know, wins a race or something and gets in, but for the most part they're going to be good cars. So when you get to the last race, they're all going to run good. I mean, that's just the way it is. Everybody wants to win, so yeah, I don't foresee that changing. I mean, at least not while they leave it like this.
Chase McCabe, 102.5 The Game. For Chase, your first few years in the Cup Series, trying to get those wins, coming so close to that, and then you break through, to kind of look back and see that journey and how frustrating that could be, but what you learned, does that prepare you for a championship four weekend when maybe you win, maybe you don't?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, some of those really tough days, I thought, prepared us to be able to, you know, come here and have a shot to win last year. You know, it's, you know, those tough losses teach you good lessons. And I felt like our team, you know, came in to the last couple years here with a really good mindset and were, you know, mentally strong enough to go and compete for the win. That's really all you can ask for. So I felt like we have a good group.
That is going to do it for this edition in the season of Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We have had a blast. We've covered a cup race in Nashville. We've covered an IndyCar race in Nashville on the streets and so much more. Got to go to Dover and Atlanta and obviously Phoenix. So much fun being able to go to some races. And I can tell you right now, the plan, I'll be in Daytona in February. So looking forward to that. But my thanks to everybody involved in the show, Apple Collision Center, of course, for coming on here in the last few weeks. And we'll have some special coverage coming from the championship in Nashville as well. But that is going to do it. I am Chase McCabe. You can follow us on Twitter at Chasen_Checkers. And we will talk to you next season, starting with the Clash.